A nation's strong constitution is the foundation of its history and its future. If they hold to it, we honestly have had one of the best constitutions, I think, in history. There's a lot of constitutions. Even Israel has a constitution, but they kind of went with their parliaments and with their ideas after the British government and some other governments. They kind of cling to a couple of the different ones, but the United States is unique, and I believe it has a strong constitution. It's solid, it's good. In general, it's righteous. It has integrity and should reveal, right, the hearts of the people. The hearts of the people should be solid and good and righteous and have integrity. We just passed our 247th, just 4th of July. The Constitution was ratified as a decree of Congress. They made it law. They made it the law of the land, if you will. And carried out by the first chief executive and the commander-in-chief, George Washington, I would say that they did a pretty good job. I like what they did, personally. I don't know what you think. Example, Article 1, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in the Congress of the United States, the House and the Senate, and they are elected by the people. That's the governing of the people. Article 2, the executive power shall be vested in the President of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during a term of 4 years and together with the Vice President, chosen for the same term, be elected. The POTUS shall be the Commander-in-Chief. How are we doing so far? Well, those first years were pretty awesome. And we've had some other pretty neat terms and pretty neat presidents and pretty neat decades. And Article 3, the judicial powers of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court. How are we doing so far? That's changed, hasn't it? 7 articles, 27 amendments, then the Bill of Rights in 1789. They were written pretty good. They were written by good men and carried out by force, by the will of the people who united around these changers of this land. Then, of course, you remember when it was ratified. What did you come out? The lady said, what did you come out with? And Jefferson said, a republic, not a democracy. Not the governing of the majority of the people. Okay? A representative. A republic. If you can keep it, he said. And the problem is, we can't keep it. I mean, we did pretty good, I think, up till maybe the 80s. I mean, things started to fall apart before then, but yeah, I mean, you know, if we grew up in the 70s and 80s, we were living in pretty good times in general, weren't we? If you have lived 70 or 80 years, you realize that you haven't lived the entire history, and you won't live the entire history of the United States, and it behooves us to read the history of it so that we can understand it, but we will never, ever live it. The average length of a nation is 250 years. The average lifespan of a nation is 250 years, and so I'm in mid-60s, and I think, wow, you know, the United States has been around for a long, long time. This is all I know, right? This is all I know. And, you know, most of you know, I spent 22 years in the Air Force, and the Lord kind of just drugged me in there. It was a good thing. I needed to go. And so, you know, I had to know the history, and I had to know some of these things. What am I going to fight for? And yes, I'm going to fight for her. And, you know, all these things. Thinking, you know, I'm living America. But you know what? America's been going on for 247 years. And I haven't experienced that, and we won't. We may experience its end. I hope not. And as I like to say, the term 400 years is biblical. It is a cycle. And when did the pilgrims land? 1620. That puts us just over 400 years. And you start thinking, okay, Lord, are we, you know, where's the end of this race for this beautiful country? Because it looks like it's kind of creeping up. In fact, it's not even creeping anymore, is it? I'm not sure the young people, you know, again, they're, what are we, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, and they're going, you know, this is the America we know. This is what I know. This is all I know. They didn't experience the 60s or the 70s or, in particular, the 1800s, or none of us were in the 1800s, and none of us were definitely not in the 1700s. The average length is 250 years. Why? Because we can't keep our constitutions. Nations can't keep them. I'm not saying that because I'm making some statement out of some kind of special knowledge I have. Look at the history. The average is 250. Why? Because they don't stand. And I want to, again, point you to James Dobson, who says the end of the cultures is usually homosexuality and the sexual revolution, which we have been through, and this stuff that no nation has really been through that we're facing now. With this kind of stuff, we can't and are not maintaining our Constitution. You meet a man, you remember, most of you are old enough to hear the statement, that man has a good constitution. Have you ever heard that? He has a good constitution. And I love that phrase. I never hear it anymore. It came to my mind last night or this morning. I can't even remember that. But that person has a good constitution. And that's all you have to say about that person, doesn't it? It's like, man, that person's strong, has a lot of integrity. He's generally righteous. It doesn't mean he's not a sinner or she's not a sinner. It just means that you could probably rely on that person. And that's who our leaders were. And now not are. Gary, even this morning, I don't know how he does it, but he said it even this morning, our nation drifts away. I agree to generally, but now it sounds like they've got the boat engine revved up and we're speeding away from our Constitution. God has been accused of ruling a kingdom that can't be kept. Satan is trying to prove with all his work the doctrine of demons, Paul calls it, that God can't keep his kingdom. In Genesis chapter 3, there's the fall. In Genesis chapter 6, he wipes out the planet. Genesis chapter 11, Babel comes and a king of a pathetic constitution rises. every one of God's constituents seems to have failed because they died. Did Jesus fail? Jesus died. Only had 12 followers. One of them was a traitor. Had 70, over 70 one time, and they up and left him at a single moment. Jesus kind of looks like a failure. Hung on a cross with thieves, by the way, and a robber and a rebel. And he died there and had to be buried in somebody else's. He didn't even have his own tomb. Didn't even have his own burial place. Failed. Or did he? In everything, it seems God is saying to you and me, who are you going to believe? Whose constitution do you stand behind and war after and fight with all your inner might and soul to believe and stand for? Somebody is talking to you and they tell you a lie. The news tells you a lie. But especially a friendly friend or a family member tells you a lie, and out of sentiment and out of not wanting to hurt their feelings, what do we say? Or say nothing? Because we want to keep the peace instead of make the peace. Whose constitution are we standing under? Standing for? Whose flag? You're picking baseball teams. You want to be on the winning team. And it looks like God's not winning. It looks like it. We read the Old Testament. It's done over and over and over. His people fail. And it looks like, God, you just can't keep people from falling. It doesn't look good for you. And then if you read the Old Testament, if we were to just read it in one setting, over and over there's failure, failure, failure. And then God says, but I will, and I'm going to, and I will, and I'm going to. And we still, like, Lord, you still haven't, and you still say you're going to. But you haven't. I mean, where's the redemptive kingdom? And where's the true constitution? And where is the government of the earth? And where's our hope? And you know, Lord, well, the problem is that we live 70, again, the same thing. We live 70, 80 years. We don't see the history of the United States. We don't see the history of the world. We have no clue. And so here's the point. It's not over. It's not over. So the Constitution of the United States, it's not over. The United States hasn't fallen. We're going to go vote in November, right? You're going to go vote in November. And we're going to raise our American flags. I'm going to put I voted buttons on, red, white, and blue. You don't have to tell me who, but I will be talking about who later in the year. Pay attention, please. Because it does matter. I don't care what the Johnson Amendment says. Johnson's Amendment says I can't stand up here and promote some guy or some person or some female, some lady. Well, I will. I will. We will. Because I answer to the King of Heaven, the Constitution of Heaven. Okay? Yes, the Lord has a constitution. He looks like he's failing. He looks like he can't keep his act together. We know better. Because through his patience and long-suffering, he tells his remnant, he tells the righteous, just hang on. See, in America, we're just hanging on 247 years later. In in the world, the remnant of God's people are still hanging on. Yeah, but David's dead and Solomon's dead and all these people are dead. You know, Samson's dead. The big strong guy. Hang on. The history hasn't been written. So whose history, whose constitution, whose flag are we going to stand under while this war continues, while this seemingly mess continues? The board out here says, and somebody in one of the businesses said, I saw your board out there, that things are not falling apart. They're falling into place because God has a constitution. He has a constitution. He wrote it. He made it. He decreed it and certified it, ratified it. He did. Him alone, walking through the blood trail alone while Abram was asleep. And that's the covenant that you, at least, I think that's a good one to start with. Where everybody's asleep or away from him and God does it himself. And then we just watch and we watch as he keeps it. There's only one constitution that can be kept, that's from the King of Heaven. If all things are meant to change, then what is truth? What foundation, what king, what God, what gospel do we hang on to? And it really, I'm telling you, it just totally interests me that there's only a remnant on the planet that wants to live forever under the Creator. I mean, we're born, we watch our children, we do all these things, and in us there's this, like, there's got to be a greater hope, right? There has to be something in front of us, because we didn't bear these children. We're not doing this work and watching these lovely persons walk the planet for nothing. Dude, beautiful creatures that God is going to just wipe away, or whoever it may be? No. The Creator said, it is very good. It's very good. So the King of Heaven has a plan. First of all, then, I urge that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful life, a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, our constitutionalist, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Should I bring up the idea of the Calvinists, who believe that Jesus Christ's blood is only effective for a few? That the call of God seems to be only for a few? That you bring out the tulip, you know, we go through the tulip, and I don't want to do that because I don't believe in the tulip. Sections of it are good, some of it not so good. I pose the doctrine of the strict Calvinists. And that's the key, strict Calvinist. Our king, the constitutionalist, wants all men to be saved. All women to be saved. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. He's the king and the governor. Ezekiel 18:23, do I take pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God? Wouldn't I prefer they turn from their ways and live? Wow, I see, that's the king we serve. Not the president, but that's the leader we serve. That's the person on the throne and in our so-called White House in heaven. That's a strong constitutional man, if you will, Jesus Christ. Wouldn't I prefer that they turn away and live? I take no pleasure in anyone's death, declares the Lord. So repent and live. Repent and live. And we look like morons if we go out on the street corner with a sign that says repent and live. John 3:14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes him may have eternal life. For God so loved part of the world, or just the Calvinists, or just the ones that he chose. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. No, God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He's coming as king to condemn those who do not believe in him. He must, or he's not a righteous God. He wouldn't have a good constitution, right? Oh, they're going about their wicked ways. They're trying to take over the world. They want to dethrone me. That's okay. Let them have it. Let them have their fun. No, no. You don't see a lot of that. You only see mocking and condemnation from him on those people. Acts 17:26. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. Wow, that would be a beautiful sight. And he determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their lands. Appointed times, 247 years so far. God intended, what's his intent? What is the constitution of heaven? That they should seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And finally, 1 Timothy 4:10, to this end I labor and strive, because we set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of everyone, and especially of those who believe. So in other words, the opportunity to be saved is for everyone, but he is the effectual Savior of those who believe. But the offer, and it's a real offer, is to everyone. You're in a flood, the boat's coming by, you're on your house, the boat comes by, and it's empty. It's just got the driver in it. And he says, sorry, this boat's not for you. No, it's an effectual favor, an effectual promise, an offer. Get in the boat. We would say what God wants, he gets. So he's going to just save a few. What God wants, he gets. And so he offers it to everybody. He raises his Son up on a pole and says, look up. That's as easy as it is. Look up and be saved. And people say, no. I'll take my chances with the next boat. There is no other boat. Colossians 1:26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning how many people? Everyone, and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Paul could have said, you know, those Romans up there, especially the Caesar, they don't deserve it, and I don't think God's appointed them, and so I'm not going. I'm not going to Rome. I'm not going to Spain. I'm not going to Thessalonica, whatever it is. He said, I toil and struggle with all God's energy for the constitution of God. That is to save everyone we can, save everyone that he would, for God's sake and their salvation. To be in that city on a hill, to be a saint of God, that's the light on the hill, is God's hill. In Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, back to Timothy, we make supplication and prayer and intercession and thanksgiving for all people, even our kings, even the guys who's stumbling and falling off his bikes and, you know, doing some horrible things. That looks like Judges chapter 19. It looks like Judges chapter, well, the last half of Judges anyway, in the White House. It's horrible. Why? Because they will not keep their constitution. They can't. And they won't. They don't believe in the one true constitution. So there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I should probably say at this point, remember you're the ambassador. Okay? Remember you've got that little ambassador of Christ and your kingdom of priests, right? Okay? Why? Do we have a Congress and a out there like appointing you? And do we have the judicial system appointing you? Do we have this whole gamut of man-made rules and things that we have to do and follow? Or has God made it really easy? That there's one God and the Congress is Jesus Christ, if you will. And that's it. And then he's got lots of ministers, you know, in heaven and on earth. Got lots of ministers. And the congressman, if you will, the governor, if you will, the King Jesus, if you will, stepped down off the throne, gave his life a ransom for many. He paid the debt, and he said, now get up and go to war. Get up and go. And so that's simple. And so you and I say, okay, that's the Constitution of Heaven. That's as easy as it is. There's our government. That's the government. And it's one you can test and prove and follow till the end of time, because it's not going to fail. 247 years, that's nothing. So, ABC News, March 2013, dissecting President Obama's evolution, that's the key word, on gay marriage. New York Magazine, March 13, 2013, Obama evolves even further and denies that state marriage is constitutional, he says. ABC News, May 2013, Obama's evolution on gay marriage. The Daily Signal, October 2014, President Obama evolves on marriage. Wants the Constitution to evolve with him. March 2013, President Obama's endorsement of marriage equality was an historic occasion. In an interview with ABC News, George DeStephanopoulos, the president indicated that his views on marriage has evolved even further, because he's not a man of our Constitution, let alone a Constitution. He doesn't have a constitution. A constitution doesn't change. You amend it to make it a little better as you go, but you don't change it. It doesn't evolve. He now says that he cannot imagine how a state's decision to discriminate against same-sex couples could be constitutional. It's not constitutional. Evolution. Another thing that came about in our universities, actually in the late 1700s even. You know, it didn't take very long for the universities to start evolving. And especially by the middle of the 1800s, there was evolutionary law. Darwin, it was even before Darwin came up with his stuff. There was evolution in life, evolution in law, evolution. Because, you know why? Because Satan says, did God really say? See, they don't hold to the Constitution. 2014, Obama said, I used to teach constitutional law. And I just want to say something there. I used to teach constitutional law, and I think that there's certainly a strong basis for determining that, in fact, in this age, see, in this age, given what we know now, given the changes that have been taking place in states around the country, and now, ultimately, I think the Equal Protection Clause does guarantee same-sex marriage in all 50 states. I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman, he said, in, I think it was 2010. Now, as for me as a Christian, he says, for me as a Christian, the marriage between a man and a woman, it is also a sacred union. He said, God's in the mix. And then, only after 2 years in office, he flip-flopped. When President Clinton took office, I was in the military. He told the military, don't ask, don't tell. In other words, it used to be outlawed that homosexuals could join the military, but then he said, well, we're not going to ask them anymore. See, everybody morphs. Everybody who does not, I should say, have a strong constitution, especially a constitution from heaven, morphs. Obama belongs to, and others belong to, the modern, democratic, pragmatic tradition. You don't want to be in this group. Elaborated by American thinkers and political thinkers since the progressive era. But his distinctive constitutional version of this outlook stresses deliberative democratic promises, not republic, democratic. Why? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, heaven's constitution, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness, what are they doing? Suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them. The Constitution of God is plain to them because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. We don't need to go look for another king. You don't need to go look for another government. The Lord has put governments in place on the earth to restrict us from being overly evil. And he's put these governments here. But they're made to be taken down because they can't be kept anyway. There's only one constitution. There's only one king. There's only one true government. It sits in heaven. 2 Peter 3:5, they deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens were existed long ago. The constitution was written a long ago. That's the idea. Woodrow Wilson was the first real progressive president, openly disparaged the U.S. Constitution. He said it was a hindrance to new ideas. He wanted to replace it with a living document to empower government to evolve beyond the document's constraints. Have you ever met Woodrow Wilson? No, and we probably don't want to. But here's the point. He came and went. Our constitutions of the United States and other nations will come and go. There's only one set of decrees that never change. There's only one kingdom that never changes. Kings. And he wishes that you try to save everybody. He wishes, in fact, even looks like a command to me, that you pray for your kings, that you pray for your leaders, that you pray for those who you know so that, two reasons, now watch this, so that we could live in peace. And we say, okay, wait a minute. If I pray for the right king, then we'll have peace. That could be. But also he says, even if they do the wrong thing and you do the right thing, you still have peace with God. Two ways you can have peace. Have a good constitution and a king, president, and government. However, your main peace is between you and God. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfaded, reserved in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power for the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last days. If you could go tell anybody anything, you should know that. There's a God in heaven. He has a son. He ransomed us. He's given us new birth through the belief. Jesus Christ isn't dead. He's on the throne in heaven with his Father. He's coming back. He's going to set up his kingdom. And by the way, until then, all this is kept in heaven for you. For you. I hope we make it to 248, 250. Except for those fireworks. They're still going off by my house. I'm kidding. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may test God's perfect will. Because it's perfect. It's a perfect constitution. His good and well-pleasing and perfect will. 1 Corinthians 13:9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. The shadows, the struggles will pass away. And the perfect will come. The perfect constitution we will live under for eternity. We just got to get through this rebellion that's been lasting for 6,000 years. You got to get through this rebellion. It's not a revolution. It's a rebellion. James 1:25, but the one who peers into the perfect law of liberty fixes his attention there, does not become a forgetter or forgetful listener, but one who lives it out, he would be blessed in what he does. The beauty of all of this is we don't have to go anywhere else. It's so simple. There's one King and one God and his Son, Jesus Christ. You don't have to be looking anywhere else. The simplicity of this is it removes all confusion. The perfection of this is it relieves our doubt. It relieves our fear of the future. There's no guesswork. And I pray that whatever comes, you will have the courage to withstand fire and water and persecution, no matter what, because of the one constitution that has come down from heaven. You don't need to look around. You don't need to ask for further help. You have it. You ask the Congress of Heaven. What we don't know, God does. What we can't do, God can and will. You must believe. You must walk in righteousness. So let's not be looking for the next best thing, okay? Don't be looking for the next best president. Go vote, do the best we can. What we need to be doing is going to do the next best thing. Walk in righteousness, serve your Lord, and love everybody. Thank you, Lord, for being our one and only King. You are a triune God. It's hard to understand sometimes. Three persons, one God. We accept it because that's what the Bible says. You have only one Son because you stepped out of heaven And he manifested the Father. He spoke all the things that the Father said, did all the things that the Father wanted him to do, and became our King. He is our King. Our problem, Lord, is we don't see the kingdom yet. We wait for it patiently. We wait for it with endurance. We wait for it with a strong constitution, yours, and prayerfully the one that is in our heart. We love you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.